That Sober Guy podcast contains adult content, merciless truth, and emotional nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
I'm Shane Ramey. You're listening to That Sober Guy podcast, and we help people stay sober. If it's your first time listening, welcome. I'm so glad that you're here today. You can follow us on Instagram at That Sober Guy podcast. You can check out our Sober Guy men's group on Locals, our 30-day alcohol-free challenge, as well as get more podcasts and resources by going to thatsoberguy.com. Shout out to Humans Music. If you like the intro today, check out Humans Music. Good friends of the show, some awesome jams. Appreciate you guys tuning in today. The title of today's message is, I'm tired of waiting. How many of y'all are tired of waiting? You said that before. I'm tired of waiting. Tired of waiting around for this crap. Or more, maybe it's more like this. Just, man, I'm just tired. I'm really tired of waiting. You hear people say, wait, we just want you to wait on God. Just waiting on God. Just waiting. Just waiting around. It can be frustrating sometimes. I don't know if you feel me on that, or you felt that, you've been through that. Maybe you're sitting there right now and you're tired of waiting for something. Maybe you're waiting for a promotion, or you're waiting for a new job, or you're waiting for the next step in your relationship, or you're waiting to hear from God. You know, you're waiting to get sober. How about that one? You're waiting to quit drinking. I'm going to quit on Monday. Today's my last, it's my last one today. I'm going to get to the gym, but I'm just waiting around. Going to wait till Saturday to start. And then Saturday comes and you don't start. You say, I'm going to wait till Monday. And you're just waiting and waiting and waiting. And eventually you get tired of waiting. And you go, what is this waiting all about? We live in this immediate gratification society today where we want everything instantly. The average attention span is like 7 seconds. And I don't remember where I read that. It could be shorter than that by now. That was a couple of years back. It's probably like 5 seconds now, or 3 seconds. If you don't catch your attention in 3 seconds, boom, on to the next thing. And it can be really, really difficult to live like that and to live in this way of immediate gratification. And I see it a lot with my son sometimes, just being, you know, we all played video games. Like, I know I played a ton of video games when I was a kid. It's funny. I have a group text with a few of my buddies who we've been childhood friends. We've known each other since third grade, and there's 5 of us in there. And so we still chop it up and send each other dumb stuff and make fun of each other and that whole, you know, and then the nostalgia post too. And that was yesterday's. I saw something about, remember the game 007 on N64? One of the best games ever. So fun. And you'd set it up with your buddies and you'd each have a screen maybe. It was like split screen, we used to hook up different TVs in different rooms, because this was before, like I was going to mention, my son does now. You can play your friends online or whatever. You can play MLB The Show against your buddy who's across town or across, you know, the United States, really. But we were talking about that and how fun that used to be, and getting together. And I think the meme said something about, you know, you heard the James Bond music and then it was like the Cool Ranch Doritos and the Mountain Dew and the Domino's pizzas on its way. I was like thinking, man, that's so on point. I literally was able to go back there in that moment. It's a little different today. Like, my son is, and a lot of the kids out there, it's not just my son, but best example I could think of, that immediate gratification, the videos, and he's not on social media, but he still has been on YouTube at times watching, baseball videos or whatever, and they can be quick. And so for him to sit through like a whole movie, I noticed now is like, he'll get bored easily. I'm like going, man, this is crazy, because we want that immediate gratification, and we take that and apply it to an adult like myself, or maybe you're out there listening right now and you know what I'm talking about when it comes to addictive things. Maybe it's food, maybe it's alcohol, maybe it's drugs. That immediate gratification when we chug, you know, some alcohol and get that feeling and it's immediate. Nobody wants to wait for stuff. Nobody wants to be patient. It's very difficult to do that. Nobody wants to sit in their thoughts and their feelings. I shouldn't say nobody wants to. That's probably a bad way to frame it up. Let me say it like this. It's difficult. It's challenging. You have to feel, you have to be conscious. You have to sit still. And I'm not talking at you, by the way, about this. I'm talking with you because I really struggle with this too. I'm a very busy dude. I'm on the go all the time. There's always something I can be doing. And I do get to relax at night. Sometimes, you know, Jess and I will post up when it's time for bed. Finally, the kids go down. Everyone tuck-ins and prayers and love you. And we lay down and we're both exhausted. And we can sit there and we can watch a little bit of a show together and just hang out. And relax a little bit. So I do try to do that almost every night, depending on what we have going on. But man, the daytime from the moment I wake up, about 4:30, 5 a.m., and I'm off and running. You know, there's stuff to do. It's gym, work, eat breakfast, you know, eat lunch, work, dinner, sports, practice, games, running back and forth. Men's group. I have my awesome men's group this morning, and a shout out to all the men in our Valley men's group over here. We meet at the IHOP, and man, it's a great group of dudes. Just all different dudes too. I mean, a lawyer, a podcaster, myself, a doctor, a painter, a pastor, ex-Marine, like go down the list of dudes, mental health worker. I mean, and I know there's a lot of dudes, so, you know, I can't get everybody in there, but you know us, if you do listen to this and you're in our group, man, just, I love you guys. It's such an amazing thing. And, just that old saying, iron sharpens iron too, right? So eating breakfast, hanging out together, fellowship, and just having a good time. And then talking about the word of God as well. You know, and there's even, you find you get together. I had no intention or no, I didn't know that there would be other dudes in there who are sober too. And there is, and just like, wow, that's the kind of stuff that happens when we step out and jump into different groups. But going off track there, just a little shout out to that. If you're not in a group too, man, I would tell you, like, it's one of the most powerful things to be in community and be in fellowship with other dudes. So man, try to find something. We got our Sober Guy men's group. There's lots of groups, different 12-step groups, different groups at churches, online. I'm sure there's plenty of stuff, meetings, and there's a bunch of resources at thatsoberguy.com too. So you can always check those out, or just reach out if you have a question. I'd be happy to get to it and answer it the best that I can, or give any other resources too. But to get back on track, yes, the group, you know, then we have a marriage group. We're doing a marriage group that we're a part of called Intimate Encounters to Strengthen Our Marriage. And there's a lot. You can hear, I don't even think I took a breath going down that list of things right there. It's a lot of stuff, and it's a lot of positive stuff too. You know, so I don't want to sound like I'm complaining, but we're busy, and it's hard sometimes to sit. It's hard sometimes to wait. It's hard sometimes to be in the process. Everything has to happen fast, or now we need to speed up the process. And I was thinking about this, like, you know, how we want everything so fast. We want it quick. And here's the secret that's missing to that, you know, kind of that, the reward aspect of that, when we're talking about like setting a goal and then meeting that goal that we're striving for. So maybe it's the money, the job, the house, the car, the fame, the recognition. They like all these things seem like they're rewards, right? And we see people on social media and you know, doing big things, and we wonder, man, like, well, why are they doing that? And why am I not doing that? We start to get that, you know, that comparison thing, which is so toxic, by the way. And I can't say I've never done it before, but I'm definitely very, very conscious of it and don't tend to do that at all, you know, these days. But I've done it before, and I know people do it often. Why didn't I, you know, get that? Or why don't I have that car? Or how come I can't do, you know, this, you know, career for work or whatever the case is? Those all seem like those are these rewards that people were given, or they worked hard for, or whatever it is. Those aren't actually the reward. They're not actually the reward in anything. And I'm just using those as an example here. The reward is not at the end of the path or the end of the journey. The reward is actually happening as you're walking this out. And the reward is in the process, is what I'm getting at. And if we don't recognize that and accept it, and not only recognize and accept it, that the reward is in the process, in the moment, we also have to practice it. And if we don't do those three things, recognize, accept, practice, we're going to miss the whole point of this short life. It's going to go by like the blink of an eye. And you're like, man, like what happened? And Jess and I are going through that right now with the kids. We're in this different phase of life. They're older now. And it blows my mind some days. I go, man, I remember when, you know, my daughter was just a little fat baby. And it seems just like yesterday. And now she's this, you know, beautiful, tall, young lady playing soccer and doing school and just has her own little life and is just an awesome, awesome young lady too. But I can't believe it sometimes how fast that time went by. And unfortunately, I do have some guilt about this from when, you know, when she was younger. It was so chaotic at that time, especially those first couple years of her life when I was still drinking and acting a fool. Like, I was such in a hurry to get through that stage of life because I didn't know how to handle it. I didn't know how to deal with the stress and I didn't know how to relax. We weren't in a great financial situation. We weren't making great decisions. Everything was super stressful. We were behind, just a lot there. And so I didn't have the ability or the wherewithal or the consciousness, whatever we want to call it, to enjoy that process. And so I feel like there's a lot of things that I missed out on, you know, back then. And I don't beat myself up for it. I've definitely thought about it. I've prayed about it. I think I've forgiven myself for the most part for it. Maybe that's something I should look into a little bit more even, but there's nothing I can do about it, except now I can be in the moment as often as possible, even in these busy, busy times, these busy days. I can do my best to do that. So the reward, remember, is in the process. I was thinking about some things too, and I took a couple notes here I just wanted to share before we got into the first point too. I was thinking about how many things that we want fast. Everything is fast. I want it now, quick, fast. Give it to me now. Do, you know, fast food. I want fast internet speed. I want to make fast money. I don't know why I said that like a WWE wrestler, but I want to drive fast cars. You know, unless you're actually like me, they make fun of me because I drive like so slow. That's because I used to have an 83 Cadillac Sedan DeVille that was literally like riding on a cloud. It's my favorite car ever. I'd love to get something similar, maybe a little older, maybe like a 77 or a 76 Caddy. Man, 69 would be sick too. That's a great year. But you know, back to the fast point beside the Cadillac, I'll get that one day. We'll see. We'll see about that. Even if I'm lucky enough to live till I'm 60, it might not be till then, but you'll see Raymer rolling down one day in a, you know, a nice Cadillac Sedan DeVille, just floating on the clouds. One of my little dreams or whatever. But hey, to that point, what's the process of getting there, right? It's not just that. It's like, if I was going to say, how am I going to get a Cadillac Sedan DeVille today? How am I going to save enough money for that or work for it, whatever it is? Working towards that is going to be such a huge part of actually getting it. It's really the point of today's podcast once again. So let me keep going down this list. I want things we want fast. I want an instant cup of coffee. I want fast service at the grocery store. You better hurry up. I'm standing in line here. Hurry up, hurry up, hurry up, hurry up. Let's go, let's go, let's go, let's go, let's go. Drive faster. We're going to drive faster. We're going to get there faster. He's driving so slow. Speed up, asshole. You're in the fast lane. I'm going to stop at the quick stop and grab some gas real fast. Everything's fast. We got to hurry up. We got to get to all the places so we can see all the people. And we got to hurry up so we can get back home. We got to do it fast. We want sobriety fast. We want 30 days, 60 days, 90 days. We're cured. We spent 20 years abusing ourselves with poison. And it's kept us disconnected from reality, from God, from not living out our true purpose. But hey, we're good. We got it figured out because I haven't drank in 2 weeks. We're not cured. We're not cured. And that's just the face of it. I'm not going deeper than that into that one right now because here's what I want to say with all of that. Everything's fast. Hope you got the point there. I know I went through that fast. Check this out. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23. So it doesn't exactly align with doing everything fast right there, maybe, but I feel like it does because we've all done it. We've all sinned. We've all fallen short. We've all been in the hurry. We've all been in the daily grind. We've been trying to do all the things. And when are we just going to sit back and wait and just be and just sit and be quiet and not try to talk over people or talk to ourselves or self-talk negatively? When are we just going to sit? And I want to say too, a quick caveat here. I'm not knocking anyone who has a day or 2 weeks or 2 years without alcohol. I think that is some absolutely amazing stuff right there. I feel like everybody probably knows that that's how I feel, but I just want to say that for the record in case someone's first time listening. He's telling all the people that they suck because they're just 2 weeks. And it's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying that when we surrender and let go of habits that are having negative effects on our lives, that is the moment where we can, that we can surrender. We can learn to sit still. We can learn to be, we can learn who we are. Letting go of those habits that are having a negative impact on your life. Like if you're doing that right now and you're 2 days in, you're 2 weeks in, whatever you are, you're two months in, 2 years in, I'll just say mad respect to you, like mad love to you. And I'm proud of you if you're hearing this in case nobody's told you that, like, and you should be proud of yourself. But the walk in this world and the walk in the spirit, okay, are two totally different things. And this notion that everything in the world is supposed to come quick and come fast and fulfill this need for immediate gratification, it's an illusion. The only thing that will fulfill the enormous hole, it's funny, we talked about this at our men's group this morning. The only thing that'll fulfill the enormous hole in man's heart is the Spirit of God. Not money, not a job, not a house, not a car, not fame, not recognition, nothing, none of that. It might for a minute, it might be temporary, but I promise you in the end, it will not do the job and fulfill that empty part of our soul, of our spirit. Only God can do that. And we need to slow down in order to recognize that. So we need to learn to wait. We need to learn to wait. How many of you listening to this right now have kids? I wish I could see your hands go up, or you say, oh, I got a kid. And how many of you are consistently waiting on your kids? If they're the ages like mine are 9 and 13, I can almost bet that you... Really? Okay, so my cat is scratching at the door right now. Hold on a second. We're going to take care of this right now. Because I don't have time because everything's going too fast. Oh, man, it is. Everything's fast. I get it. I'm guilty of it too. All right. Where were we now? We need to learn to wait. And oh yeah, I was talking about kids. Like how many of you have kids? And you could potentially, if they're anything like my kids, you could be waiting on your kids. And I feel like I'm constantly waiting on them. I'm a big stickler for being on time to places. Unfortunately, my wife and my children don't see the time aspect of things the same way that I do. They can be a little bit more lackadaisical, for better words, I guess, of being on time. And so it usually goes down like this. Like I'm ready most of the time. I'm out in the car. Okay, hey, I'll be out in the car waiting. You know, I'll turn the car on. If it's cold, getting the heater going. If it's hot, getting the air going. And if it's perfect outside, hey, rolling the window down, whatever. Packing up, getting ready, right? And I'm sitting in there. And let's say it's church. That's a great example because we're usually late every weekend. And I feel terrible about it. But I can't get the family out the door. And I'm constantly waiting on them. And so, you know, and then what happens is I usually go back inside. Go, hey, what's going on? Like, what are we doing? We got to go. We're going to be late. And then if my daughter, it's usually, I'm coming. She'll yell at me. And then I just laugh because I'm like, oh, good Lord, 13. Female, like, wow, got my hands full. Cash is usually like trying to get his shoes on or something. He's up there doing that, maybe getting a snack or some water, just taking his time. And, Jess is, she might be out in the car with me at this point, But in any case, I'm waiting. I'm sitting there one day and I'm trying to remember what, I don't know when, one of the times I'm waiting and I'm getting really irritated at this point. And I'm like, man, like this is really starting to like piss me off. I'm starting to get a bad attitude. It's always funny too, how the enemy wants to come in. It's always when you're going to church too. You're on your way to church and that's when you have a big blowout over something stupid too. Like, cause we're running late or you didn't have the right shoes or, you know, you don't feel like you had time enough to get ready and prepared and, you know, you're missing something or whatever it is. There's always this, that time when that pops up, it seems like, and it seems to be when it's on the way to church. And I find that ironic to say the least, but it was one of those times where I was starting to get real irritated and I was starting to get frustrated and raise my voice about having to wait. And I was doing the thing. We're going to be late again. And I'm so tired of waiting on you and blah, you know, just going down the thing. And then I literally heard God say, or I felt it, I heard it. And God said, relax, Shane. How long have I waited on you? I was like, wait, what? Like, did I really just hear that? Was that me just making that up? Did I hear that in my mind? Like how? Because it instantly did something. It instantly shifted something to me. In me and made me sit and it made me be still for a moment. And it made me question my whole attitude. It made me question the fact that, you know, God's waited on me my whole life. He's always been there. And here I am complaining because we're going to be a couple minutes late because I had to wait for my awesome wife and awesome kids who I love so much. And now I'm taking my frustration out on them. And so that right there for me was a interesting moment. You call it a light bulb moment, a pivotal moment where God put some stuff in context for me and he put some stuff in perspective for me. And he allowed me in that moment to be still and how important it is to be still. I started to think about, started to realize as I'm in the midst of this chaotic life some days. There's a quote by Lao Tzu says, be still. Stillness reveals the secrets of eternity. Be still. Stillness reveals the secrets of eternity. And I actually got this from one of my friends and one of my mentors, Buddy C. And if you've listened to the podcast for a long time, you're probably familiar with Buddy C. Great guy and great writer and great mentor and works a great program and just has a lot of positive things to contribute to just the whole recovery community. And one of those things that he does is it is a daily the Tao daily email. And so it's basically an email that gets sent right to your box. You can find it at buddyc.org. Just go on there and look for the daily email and you can check that out there. But this happened to be as I was looking to kind of write about this topic today and take some notes on it. This was the one that was in the inbox for the day. And about being still, which I was like, yes. And I wanted to read a little bit from that email real quick. And once again, you can find it at buddyc.org if you want to check this out. Just a great resource. It's a quick read, two minutes. And there's a lot of other stuff Buddy has on there. He wrote a book recently based on the Tao and recovery. And so lots of good stuff on there. But it says, the practice of Zen meditation is life-changing. We do not ask or seek anything in Zen, not even enlightenment. We just sit. This practice teaches me how to be in everyday situations where I used to lose patience and interfere before answers were clear. At first, I thought the meditation itself was the practice. I now know that Zen is only preparing me to be still in everyday life, much like step 12 gives tools to practice the program in all of my affairs. So I really like that. I really was able to relate to that, especially in the context of this, you know, topic. And really having to think about that and practice it and be conscious of it. Like, when am I just sitting still? And if I'm honest with myself, I don't do it nearly enough. Now, I guess I would say in my defense that the consciousness and knowing that is a good thing and a good place to start, because I do get to do it. But, you know, and maybe that's just my mind doing what it always does, being hard on myself too. You don't do it. I mean, I put in a lot of work, you know, I do a lot of things. And even that's, I feel like I'm contradicting myself even saying that now, because I'm not supposed to do anything, not supposed to be doing things. I'm supposed to just be sitting and doing still. So you can see how this mind is just insane. And I'm sure some of y'all listening right now go, man, just join the party, bro. Because this shit's crazy some days, you know, it is. And so how do we sit in that? How do we be okay with that? How do we, you know, just be? How do we sit still? When was the last time you sat still? Like, ask yourself that. When was the last time you just sat? No music, no TV, no nothing. You know, I do like to roll out at the gym in a stretch. I actually did that this morning today as my day off from lifting or any type of conditioning or anything. And I thought, man, I just need to stretch today. And I just need to maybe sit in the sauna. And I don't really want to listen to music sometimes. Sometimes I do. I'll put on some reggae just to kind of chill. Sometimes I have this headphone that is not working. And it actually pisses me off when I get there, because I think it's going to work and then it doesn't. And so there's been a few times in the last few weeks I need to either fix it or get some new ones where the battery's gone or it won't turn on. So I don't have any headphones, which is actually great, I noticed, because I can feel my body working out. I can be in the present moment of what I'm doing instead of trying to like just be jacked up because I have some, you know, some music playing that's super loud, super heavy. I got a gym playlist that's just got a whole bunch of stuff from Tool to Gangstar to Seven Dust and all kinds of stuff on there just to get you pumped up and just go at the gym. And I realize that sometimes I don't necessarily like that lately. You know, I just want to sit. I just want to be in the moment. And it's really helped to, you know, with patience too, and slowing down a little bit, being patient with everything. And that reminded me of a story I wanted to tell real quick. And I know I've told this story many times, so I'll keep it brief, but it's so relevant to this. And it's one of my favorite ones. And our counselor, his name was James. And this was back in 2013 when I first got sober. And he shared this story that when he first got sober, this was like back in the 80s or something, I think, he went to a meeting, and he was at a meeting with him and his sponsor sitting next to him. And the guy up there sharing was the guy who only came to the meeting to get his chip. And everyone knew he was full of shit. Everything that he was sharing was just complete BS. And everybody knew it in the meeting. And James knew it. His sponsor knew it. Everyone. And James was saying, oh man, it was making me so mad. I just wanted to just lash out and yell at this guy. You're full of shit. And I wanted to get up and leave. I couldn't sit still. And he said, finally, he stood up and he was about to walk out. And his sponsor grabbed him by the arm and pulled him back down and said, you're going to sit here and you're going to practice your patience. And I always thought that was such a great story, because there's, how many times have you had that in your life? Not maybe necessarily at a meeting where someone's BS in their way, but take that concept and apply it to anything in life where you're uncomfortable. Maybe it's an uncomfortable conversation. It's a work meeting. It's out in public. It's, you know, your kid's sports, whatever it is. When you're in an uncomfortable situation and you don't want to be there, and it'd be easy just to leave or to complain about it. You know, maybe you're listening to someone who's full of crap and you know it. But if we flip it and we start to look at these types of things like a way to practice our own patience and not take things personal and not want to play the blame game and the BS game and point fingers and all that stuff, man, that's a very powerful tool and a very powerful way to live in our own self and to sit and slow down. Being patient, being able to be in the moment and practicing that patient. And I I found a quote here too from the Bible. The Lord will fight for you. You only need to be still. You only need to be still. And I think that was Exodus 14:14. The Lord will fight for you. You only need to be still. So what does that mean? I had to unpack that a little bit myself. And in this, basically the Israelites had fled Egypt and they're being pursued by Pharaoh and the Egyptian army. And so God's telling them like the Lord's going to fight for you. You just need to be still and basically trust. You need to trust God. You need to have faith. And sometimes that's a really hard thing to do when we think we got it figured out or we want to be in control of it. Oh, just trust God and just sit back and do nothing. Well, not necessarily. You know, maybe there's still steps we can take and things we need to do. But in the big picture, we don't really have much control over a lot of it, over any of it at the end of the day.
I got to plug this computer in real quick here. Oh, shoot. There it is.
I just noticed my computer wasn't plugged in. The battery's getting low. Okay. So in any case, in, you know, what happens, the army's chasing them and they were terrified and they start questioning and taunting Moses. And as the scripture tells us, Moses answered the people and says, don't be afraid. You need to stand firm. Like the Lord's got you, like God's got you. And that's exactly what happened. They needed to have faith and God used this, you know, this situation to demonstrate his power. And he basically split the sea. How crazy is that, right? He splits the sea. And the Israelites go through on dry ground with a wall, you know, with just picture that, walls of water to their right and left. That's insane. And as soon as Pharaoh's army follows, you know, they come following through. But at daybreak, when the Israelites are safely on the other side, God floods the sea once more and Pharaoh's entire army is completely defeated. So that's kind of the story behind that. And I did that in a very fast way. So there's a bit more to it. It's very interesting actually to read the full story. So I encourage you to do that if that interests you. But what does being still mean? Like, what does that mean? Is it trusting God? Is it letting him work instead of us trying to control everything? Is it about knowing and trusting that he's going to take care of our needs? And, you know, in my experience, it's been really tough to do this life without having some sort of faith and without having some sort of belief system that I'm not in control, that I don't have to carry the weight of the world on my shoulders. And that's a hard thing to come to sometimes. We can be stubborn. We can be, you know, egotistical. We think we know all the things and have all the answers. And, you know, sometimes we forget that, like, I'll speak for myself. Sometimes I forget that I'm not in control. I don't need to control things, you know? And so whatever it is that we're doing, we have to enjoy the process of it, you know? And I'm going to wrap up here in just a second. You ever heard that saying, it's not about the destination, it's about the journey. It's not about the destination, it's about the journey. And how many times have you been too focused on the end result and not enjoyed the process? And once you get to the end result, it's quickly unsatisfying and you start to look to the next thing. What's next? And, you know, I remember, I don't know if anyone had listened to these podcasts, I think they're somewhere in the 200s or 300s mark, whatever, of the catalog of Sober Guy podcasts. But we did a couple of live shows down at the Hollywood Improv, if any of you remember that. And that was a great time. We had some comedians. We had some great guests, you know, and we did it in a live format. We invited friends and sold some tickets. And my friend Mark had helped to set that up, who's a longtime comedian down there who's traveled the world and done the improv and all the, you know, all the awesome clubs and worked with some great other comedians. And a lot of comedians are in recovery. Actually just did an interview for LA Weekly. I got to check if that comes out yet. And it's just, they're talking about comedy and recovery. And we actually talked a little bit about these shows that we had done there. in finding comedy in recovery, and it was a really great opportunity to talk about that. So I have to look out for that side note. But this show that we did, you know, the couple of them, they were a lot of fun. And leading up to those though, I was so excited about them. And I so thought, this is a great opportunity. And oh man, it's going to take the podcast to the next level. And I started having these fantasies of, you know, it's going to blow up. And if I'm being honest with myself, like, and it is kind of hard to admit sometimes. And I think that's okay. Like to have goals and dreams and these visions that, yeah, the podcast is going to be a whole new thing and live shows. And I was so excited. I was so excited about it. And I was so focused on what it was going to be and these expectations and the show going well. And I didn't really enjoy like the process leading up to it. And there was a lot there that I could have sat in, I think, better and enjoyed more and talked about more. And instead I was just looking to the end result on what it was going to be and what it was going to, you know, accomplish and were we going to help some people and was anyone, you know, going to be interested and how would that, you know, how's it going to like turn out? And I didn't really enjoy like the ride there. Like, literally the ride there. Like I drove down to LA a couple times, just, I think Jess went the first time and then I went the second time on the solo. But after it was over, and it was successful. I mean, for what it was successful. People came, like we recorded some great content. We shared some great stories, had some great laughs. I know it helped some people because I got great feedback from it. And then it was over, you know, and now it's a memory and it's in the podcast thing. Go back and listen to it if you'd like. Definitely some fun stuff. But when it was over, I wasn't satisfied. And I think part of that, I could do a whole nother podcast on expectations, and I probably should at some points. It's a great topic, but setting expectations. And when we set expectations, like the expectations I had for this, and I've done it with other things, not just the improv show, and they don't pan out exactly how you think they should, even when they're somewhat successful and you have a good time, they become unsatisfying. And then you start to look to the next thing, just like I said before. And so we really have to do our due diligence in understanding that, you know, the goal isn't always the thing. It's not always that end result that we're striving for and we're doing for. And like, there's so many people that we can have a positive impact on in that process leading up to whatever that thing is, that is so much more important than the thing itself, if that makes sense. And staying conscious of that and in that, you know, and what that really speaks to me even right now in this moment as I'm kind of talking about this is the opportunities that God gives us to speak into people's lives and encourage them and tell them, you know, that everything's going to be okay if they need to hear that day, or, you know, telling somebody, praying for them, or telling them that, you know, hey, I know you can quit drinking because I did, and I've seen lots of other dudes do it, and you could do it too, you know, and just those opportunities along the way are so important. Whatever it is we're doing. And that brings me back to doing all things for the glory of God, like period. In all things I do, my work, my family, the podcast, my, you know, whatever it is, there's always those opportunities. It doesn't mean I'm perfect at it either, because I get caught in the flesh often still. And I'm really working on that. And it's a tough thing, but man, we got to live in this world. We don't have to be of it though. You know, we got to live here. We don't have to be of it. And that's something that has occurred to me over the past, you know, couple of years and continues to get more real to me, you know, as I sit in this reality, as I sit in the challenges, as I embrace the feelings, as I enjoy the ride, enjoy the process. Those are the things that are important. You're living it. You're living it right now. So don't future trip. Don't set expectations. Don't trip on all that stuff. Just be in the moment. Be still. Be still. You know, sit in it. It's okay to feel. It's okay to be right where you're at right now. And this is Seth told me a long time ago, and I repeat this and always keep this one close to my heart, and I love sharing it, man. If you feel lost, if you feel like you don't know where you're supposed to be, if you're feeling anxiety, you're feeling depression, you're feeling any of those feelings that just feel unsettling, man, just look at your feet, because you're right in the moment, right where you're supposed to be, and God's got you right where you're supposed to be in that moment. So enjoy it. Enjoy it to the best you can. How can you flip it and put a positive perspective on it? So I appreciate you guys listening today. I hope something spoke to you. If you want more information, you want more podcasts, more resources, you can go to thatsoberguy.com. You can contact us there. There's all kinds of good stuff on there. Please follow us on Instagram at thatsoberguypodcast. Peace, love, and respect. Keep your blood clean.